this collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran and star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your mise en place. Here are the Good Brothers.
Yes, sir. It's time, ladies and gentlemen and friends, for another fun-filled episode of Plum Love Foods Live with your good brothers, Chef Plum and Chef Jeff. Jeffy,
yes.
Another Thursday here in April as we inch closer and closer to the summer. I'm very excited about summertime, man. I'm so ready to go.
Hells yeah. It's tax day, April 15th. Get your shit together.
Well, didn't they move it to May this year?
All right, but my shit's already done because I'm on top of it. But
look at that, because you're the freaking, you have marginal clerical abilities, right?
Marginal clerical skills. It's in my resume.
That's right. That's right. You're moving a lot. What's going on over there? You okay?
There's a new carpet on the floor, and I'm like crinkling it, and I don't like what I'm doing to it, so I'm trying to move it.
All right. Well, listen, we're excited, man. Tonight's show. Tonight could very well be the smartest human being that's ever been on our program tonight.
You know, yes, I was amazed that we pulled this.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I've been big into the, like, you know, following up with, like, the NASA thing that's going on now with the Mars rover and just, it's all so fascinating. I'm telling you right now, if all this stuff was, if it was all as accessible now when I was younger, I'm telling you, man, I might have been an astronaut because I'm way into it.
But the Earth's flat, so, I mean...
Hey, maybe we make our friends our guests tonight. We can ask him. By the way, if you ask Ryan Dowdy, the ISS food system manager for NASA, if the Earth is flat, I'm going to turn your mic off.
Well, he's going to have to lie because that's it's part of the NASA oath.
The government thing, you think, right?
Yeah, we always lie. The Earth is flat, but it's actually not. Everyone lie. Keep the lie up. It's
got
round.
Gotcha. Right.
Well, all the pictures are from a fisheye angle. Duh.
Ah. Well, tonight we are joined by, we're going to be joined in a little while by Ryan Dowdy. He is a food systems manager for NASA. It's a funny story. So I was into the space thing. I've been following, keeping track of it. And I called Jeffy on the phone, much like I do. I call him 64 times a day because he's my person. Everybody has a person. Jeffy's my person.
It's good.
And
we're good.
I call him and I say, hey, Jeffy, you know what? We really, can you call NASA?
Yeah.
And you're like, of course. And you didn't even ask why, which I love. Like, you're so used to this shit now. I was like, let's get somebody from NASA. You know, but here's why, because I want to talk about space food, man. Like, it's interesting to me, like the traveling of it, like what kind of, you know, what do you eat, number one, and number two, how do you get there, and like what are the, you know, the things that can go wrong, what can happen to it. It just seems really interesting to me, especially on the heels of getting ready to send people to Mars.
Yeah, I it's so mind-numbingly complex, and I'm sure there's so much that goes into it. I mean, the fact that we're smart enough to put people in a ship and send them to Mars, but we don't have universal health care, is so weird. It's just so fucking weird to me. But, I mean, you know, these are other topics, I guess. I digress.
That's the next conversation. We're going to talk to someone about health care. Here's the thing about this program that just is mind-boggling to me. Listen, you and I, we're smart. We're very smart men. We're leaders. We're first-round draft picks. Hands down, no questions asked. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
Especially in our profession. We're first-round draft picks, right?
Okay, so not football. But yes, in our profession, for sure.
I mean, you would be a great football player, no question.
I am a nose guard.
Oh, you're playing on the offensive line.
Yes, I get down and... No, the one on the defense. But the
so you're going. Yeah, I got you. You're right in the middle of the line, going straight forward.
What's that guy?
Round draft pick. Yeah, well, it depends on if he's playing 3-4 or 4-3. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah,
I was always a tight end myself. I could block. I could catch the ball. You know.
Yeah, you are.
But like I said, we're a dumb show. Talks about food and dick jokes. We get some great chefs on, some fun conversations. But I mean, this week and last week's show where we had the gentleman Tim.
Yes, that was another fun one for sure.
I mean, Professor Timothy J. He's an expert on cursing. Like, we have 2 weeks of very smart people.
Yeah, it was. I got to be honest. Like I said, I just when people answer my emails, because you know I shoot them off kind of from the hip. And I mean, I guess they sound sort of professional, but they're also just kind of like me joking and just kind of like the tone of the show. I try to carry through with the emails to people, and they get right back to us, and it blows my mind every time. They're like, "Yeah, I totally want to come on the podcast and talk about space food with you two guys. Who are you?" We're like, "Yeah,
exactly." But I guess this is the thing. Like, they kind of get the tone of the show. Like, dude, Professor Timothy J. had a great time. He was a fun guy to talk to. He had a great time, don't you think? He was laughing.
Yes, I knew it was going to be a great conversation. Ryan Christopher, shout out to Ryan. Hooked us up with another one, as Khalid would say. Ooh. Another one.
Another one.
I was watching some of his speeches and stuff, and he's very funny, and I knew he was going to be a great fit for the show. I mean, as much as we all curse, I just figured
it goes,
and it goes well with chefs, you know. Like, I mean, one of my friends was like, "Why are you going to talk to a psychologist?" I was like, "Fuck you."
That's exactly the answer you just said. Hey, like Timothy said, that's the answer he would have given too.
Yeah, exactly. It was beautiful.
But listen, great show last week and this week. I think, like you said, like Khalid and another one, Ryan Dowdy from NASA. He is the food system manager. I mean, this guy, I just think it's going to be a great conversation. I've watched this guy talk. I've seen some of the things he said. I think it's a really great conversation.
Crazy. And he's the food systems manager for the International Space Station.
Right.
Coming out of Houston. So he oversees a lot of, if not all, the food that's going up to space for the astronauts, which is, that's a crazy job. That's like nuts to think that he's responsible for that.
You know, here's the thing too, man. I wonder if they actually have chefs working. Like, I have a whole list of questions we're going to ask this dude. Like, I'm so excited to ask him about these. But here's the thing I have for you. Here's the question I have for you. Can we do this interview in some way, shape, or form where we can convince Ryan to send us to space?
I think Ryan's is probably already convinced he wants to send us to space. Just on the GP, he's probably heard of us. And he knows that, I mean, you, of course, are a national treasure, a global icon. It'd be hard not to want to send you to space, not to want to perpetuate the brand of Plum Loaf Foods Live further. I mean, when we do make contact, I'm pretty sure they would like us to be the finest examples of the American people, which, I'm going on and on here. I think Ryan doesn't have the authority, possibly, to put us on there. And I believe...
Here's the thing. He probably knows a guy.
But then there's all that stuff. Like, I watched the movie. You know, you got to get an enema. You got to go on the G-Force ride. And, you know, you get your face peeled back.
Jeffy. I hear you giving all the things we have to train to do. Do you think they know that I've done the whole International Space Station tour on the Oculus?
Can you do that? I want to do that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've done that. So that I feel makes me feel qualified. Two, I've also done some of the astronaut training program on the Oculus. Well, at least it's like a tour situation. But, you know, I saw it. And then three, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with Space Camp. I used to call the 1-800 number once a year and get the catalog for Space Camp so I could see how much it costs to go and all that. So I feel
way
confident.
Too much.
It was $1,000 back in the day.
I remember. Way too much.
Yeah. And then the movie came out. Do you remember the movie?
Yeah, Space Camp, the movie.
It was awesome. And those kids accidentally went into space. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Thank God. I mean, thank Jesus that they did Space Camp because they knew how to fly the space shuttle in like three weeks, which was great.
It's pretty. Yeah. Well, it's actually not as complicated as you think. I think that the entire space shuttle is driven with a PlayStation controller.
Okay. Okay. And, then or now?
Probably then and now. I mean, the technology that PlayStation puts forth in their amazing gaming system, I believe, came from NASA, if I'm correct.
All right. Well, listen, I think we should probably stop babbling on and on about our qualifications to go to space, because I'm not sure if it's helping our case or not.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, look, we're excited to talk to him. Ryan, I got everybody's chef to me. I got to say Chef Ryan Dowdy. Doctor, because he has a PhD. I bet he has more than one, too. Dr. Ryan Dowdy, Food Systems Services Manager for NASA, is going to be joining us here when we get back from the break. We're excited about it, man. We love seeing the direction the show is going in. I'll tell you what, if you like the direction the show is going in, let us know, man, because we're taking some different turns here, and we got some big, big plans coming up. We're going to really start pushing the shit out of this podcast, because there's a lot of content there. There's a lot of backstory there, a lot of back episodes. So, you know, I think it's time to jump to the next level. So I actually took an idea we had, Jeffy, and a couple ideas I was going to use for the NPR show. I said, no, you know what? This is for me and Jeffy. We're going to make this shit happen.
Plum Love Foods. Plum Love Foods in the future.
That's right. That's right. So you guys hang out right there for a minute. Get yourself a cocktail. Pop the top on a cold one. Light up whatever you're smoking if you're having a few vitamins. Kick back, because when we come back, we're going to be joined by Ryan Dowdy, PhD, straight from NASA to talk space food. You're hanging out with Chef Plum and Chef Jeff. Plum Love Foods Live. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Jeffy and Friends is taped in front of a live studio audience.
Whoa, who would have ever thought we could get a trip to space, Jeffy?
I know. It's insane how high I am.
What?
Huh? No, from Earth, man. High up.
Wow, for a second I thought you were...
Damn it. Damn it, we only have 2 bags of chips left.
Dave, we just got up here. What do you mean?
What? What?
Hey, do you guys know we were damn near 345,000 miles from the sun? That thing was super small from here. But, you know, it ain't about the size of the dog in a fight. It's about the fight in the dog. You have to look deep inside yourself, man. You can make the...
What the hell are you talking about, Dan?
No, man. I am totally feeling that. Dan's right. Dave, you know where the rest of the chips are.
Shit. Nah.
Yo, how are we gonna eat on this trip now?
It's all good, fellas. I made us potato chip crispy treats out of the rest of those old chips in the box. Little marshmallows, little butter. You know daddy's gonna take care of you.
Hey, did we bring a massive rock with us from Earth?
What?
Yeah, that's getting closer to us very fast.
You gotta be like a stone. Out here, we're making changes, doing things to better ourselves. Communication is the key. It's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride when you already paid.
Yeah, it's really close and fast.
Is that Alanis Morissette?
Nope.
You guys want a treat? That's insane. Don't worry, guys. The treats are all good. Guys? Guys?
I hate Alanis Morissette.
From Love Foods Live, every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio. This show stinks.
Oh yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives. The knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like 3 of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com. That's right, Jeffy. Listen, if this is a show that you enjoy listening to, this program, Jeffy, you can support in lots of great ways. You know that, Jeffy? You can listen to the show, you can download the show, you can rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah.
Or, you know what else you can do? You can go to chefplum.com, click on the store, and check out the brand new store, Jeffy.
Absolutely. You can get all sorts of great stuff from the store. Really awesome designs with our logo, our name, our pictures, on shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, masks.
Hey,
you name it.
Do you even want to get yourself a tapestry? You can do that too. Check it out, chefplum.com store. We got some great shirts up there, some new designs. New designs are coming as well. We're looking forward to it. We can't wait. We're going to be giving away some stuff here very, very soon from the store. Check it out, chefplum.com/store, and check out all the new gear we've got going on right there.
Hell yeah.
Meanwhile, back on the show.
Jeffy, I'm excited. The man that's going to join us right now is arguably, possibly, and we've had some great guests in this program, Jeff, haven't we? And we've had some really smart people in this program, haven't we?
We've had some pretty smart people, but not this smart.
Let me tell you what. This could very well be the smartest individual that has ever graced this platform. And if you're a chef checking out the show, what you're about to hear is one of the smartest human beings to walk the face of the earth. And we can say that because we have microphones. That means we're experts, right, Jeffy?
Absolutely.
That's right. Joining us right now is a man who could possibly be the greatest chef in space right now. I think he might be. He's also a man who could be the greatest chef on the International Space Station, Jeffy. Could you even imagine that?
I can't imagine that. It scares the crap out of me. You know it does.
And pretty soon, he might be the greatest chef ever on Mars. Joining us right now, he is the food system manager at NASA, Mr. Ryan Dowdy. Ryan,
woo!
We appreciate you. There he is. There he is. Ryan, welcome to Plum Love Foods. How are you today, brother?
Chef Plum, so happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Hey, I appreciate the warm introduction. I don't know about all that super smart stuff. You know, I like to say if I was smart, I'd be rich, and I'm definitely not rich. So I guess that means I'm not super smart. But thanks for having me anyway.
You took a government job, man. I mean, come on. Well, listen, I got to ask you, you know, because I'm checking out your resume. I mean, your resume is incredible. I mean, you've done some pretty amazing stuff. You're a food scientist, basically. But did you start off working in the industry? Have you done any industry work before we jump into all the amazing things you're doing already?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I got out of college and I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So I got my start in front of the house work for catering. And then I ended up working at a restaurant in North Carolina at a James Beard restaurant. And I worked front of the house there and, you know, just had a ton of fun. And I laugh all the time because, you know, we do end up working with ACF folks and people who have gone to the CIA. And, you know, we laugh because I say, you know, I have zero culinary experience. I'm a food scientist. So I'm all about front of the house work. And so we get into it about, you know, we got to get into our little competitions about front of the house, back of the house, and who's better.
Yeah, what's funny, because we were looking at your picture and talking, and I want you to know Jeffy immediately said, oh, he's a front of the house guy immediately.
I called it. You're too well spoken and too good looking to be in the back of the house.
100%.
Yep.
Well, that's very kind of you. You know, maybe you just took one look at me and you're like, that guy doesn't have a lick of culinary knowledge, so he's definitely front of the house.
Well, listen, I wish we could, because that just can't be the case. So talk like exactly like, I guess, put your job into layman's terms, you know, like what's the best way to describe what you do?
Okay, sure. So I work at Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. So NASA's human spaceflight program is all focused at Johnson Space Center, right? And then we launch humans from Kennedy Space Center. So at Johnson Space Center is where the Space Food Systems Laboratory is. And really, that's where all of NASA's food scientists work to put all of our food into containers to ship to the International Space Station. So I manage the food system for the International Space Station, and that's from, you know, feeding the astronauts on the ground while they're in quarantine before they launch, you know, so no one gets sick and right, takes the virus up to the ISS. I also manage the food on the vehicle that's going up and coming down from the ISS, and then all the food that's on station. So we're monitoring that 24/7 to make sure everybody's got enough food to eat. And we're just trying to keep everybody healthy, happy, safe, and eating delicious food.
I mean, what a cool job, Jeffy, isn't it? I mean, think about it. Like I said, the guy's the best chef in space. I mean, probably because there isn't another chef in space, but hey, listen, I would take it.
So you're like the space kitchen manager.
Definitely. You know, I sometimes think about my job like that. Like when I was working for the manager at the restaurant that I worked at, I remember he came in every night, you know, and before the shift started, he would put on his tie. And so I do the same thing. You know, I'll put on my tie when I need to make an appearance, but otherwise I'm managing all the food. I'm managing all the customers. And, you know, instead of having a restaurant customer, our end customers are the astronauts. And so that's who we meet with on a weekly basis. And, you know, we tag up with them before they go to station to figure out exactly what kind of food they want to take in their crew specific containers, so that what they eat on the ISS makes them happy and reminds them of home.
Well, it's a great segue into where I was going to go next. I'm just kind of curious. You know, I think of food that goes into space, like, you know, I remember going to like the Smithsonian as a kid or a museum and getting astronaut ice cream, you know, the dehydrated block of Neapolitan looking square, weird cardboard stuff, but somehow tastes like ice cream in your mouth. That's what I think of, but that's not at all what you guys are doing anymore, is it?
No, and that's a great question, Chef Plum. Actually, you know, all that freeze-dried ice cream, it's super popular at gift shops.
Yeah.
But when we look back at the history of human spaceflight, we've produced that years and years ago, but we actually never flew it. So all of this freeze-dried ice cream actually hasn't been set up. You know, and I will say with recent advances in rocketry, we're able to get more cold stowage space available in terms of upmass. And so when there is some cold stowage space available, we will try to send ice cream, but it's real ice cream.
Yeah. Thank God.
How long does it take to get to the space station? I need to know this. This is going to settle a quick debate. How long does it take for us? Like, say we want to hop a flight to the space station. How long does it take?
Ooh, that's a great question. So there's a few different trajectories, is my understanding, to get up there. So I'm no rocket scientist. I'm a food scientist.
Yeah,
totally.
But
totally.
It's probably going to take you anywhere from 24 to 48 hours to get to the ISS.
That's it?
Depending on your trajectory and the vehicle that you're on, yeah.
That's amazing.
I told you, Jeffy. It's in low space. Plum orbit.
Knew it. Plum thought it was, like, he said that. I was like, no, it takes a month. I thought, like, for sure. It looked like a long time. I thought it was really far away. It's like, it blows my mind.
Well, so Ryan, what are some of the food items that are going up? Like, what are some of the things that have gone up? I've seen, you know, I've watched some content with you. I've seen some of the things that happen. What is some of the, by the way, chiming in there is Shaniqua, who also works there. She's on the call listening in. She said it takes between 6 and 8 hours. So that's good to know. It's a cab ride, Jeffy. But Ryan, what are some of the dishes like we send up there?
Yeah, thanks. All right, good. I'm glad I caveated that with I'm not a rocket scientist. So she's much more knowledgeable about how long it takes to get there.
The most important part was both of you proved me correct. That's all that matters.
All right, good deal. Well, hey, the food we're most excited about is all of the fish and fruits and vegetables that we've been adding to the standard menu. So in the past few years, we've had some phenomenal food scientists develop new food products to add to the standard menu. And so we're talking about stuff like Indian fish curry, Turkish fish stew, honey ginger fish, fish with mango salsa, butternut squash, Brussels sprouts. So the butternut squash and Brussels sprouts and our braised red cabbage, these are phenomenal new products, and they've got texture and flavor and color. And this is really different than the types of space food that we've sent in the past. What we've seen is that when astronauts like the food, like the way it tastes, then they get the nutrition that's in the food. So the food's got to be delicious first and foremost, because if people aren't eating it, they're not going to be getting the nutrition they need. And so space can be a very stressful environment and can be really harsh on the human body. And that's why you got to feed astronauts really well with a diet that's higher in fish and fruits and vegetables to make sure astronauts are getting the nutrients they need.
Is the lack of nutrients from this, obviously you're talking about the environment, the lack of gravity and just the lack of being able to move your muscles to process the nutrients inside the food?
You know, it's definitely really, really tough on the human body surviving in space, that they can maintain their bone density and their muscle mass.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, you go into microgravity and suddenly your muscles don't have to work so hard to hold yourself upright, and your body's not having to do all the exercise that it had to do to walk around in Earth gravity.
Right.
So, you know, what you find is that astronauts are having to exercise up to 2 hours every day. And then that is, it really increases their caloric requirements. And so they've got to eat a lot of food, and it's got to taste good. Otherwise, they won't get the nutrients they need.
I mean, it's just like working in a restaurant. If you don't make great food, no one's going to eat it. It's just going to sit there, and no one's going to make, you know, it's just not going to eat it at all. It makes total sense. So I got to imagine there's a lot of, you know, hurdles to accomplish when it comes to this, aside from the most important one being have the astronauts like the food, but as well as, like, I mean, things like shelf stability, things like, you know, maintaining the actual integrity of the food. What are some of the hurdles that are kind of the biggest things you have to think about when you're making these meals?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that's something that, you know, not a lot of folks outside of the culinary and food science world think about, is that on the ISS, because we don't have huge refrigerators and freezers, you know, we just don't have the electricity and the hardware for that. The ISS food system, for the most part, is shelf stable. So all of this food has a shelf stabilization method applied to it so that it can sit safely at room temperature without spoiling. So we freeze dry a lot of our vegetables. We thermostabilize. You might call it canning. We thermostabilize our foods that do better with thermostabilization than freeze drying.
And then, of course, we'll send out intermediate moisture
products.
The rest assured.
There you go.
From here on out, no more canned food. It's thermal stabilized.
Yeah, because it is. Because, you know, technically, that's technically the correct nomenclature, because canning is really putting food in a can. And so we put food into pouches, plastic pouches that look more like an MRE style pouch. You know, they're flexible, they're lightweight. It's much better for spaceflight than a can. So it's not really canning, it's really thermostabilization. You're applying heat to kill all the bacteria that would spoil the food or make humans sick. So really the biggest thing in terms of food for the International Space Station is that you really need a team of food scientists working together who know how to turn food products into a space food product, into something that can be shelf stable. Yeah. And so that's one of the biggest surprises, I think, that people have about the ISS food system. I was given a tour to a group of kids in the food lab one time, and one of them raises their hand and says, "Why don't you just send a burrito to space?" I said, "That's a great question." And the answer is, well, you can't leave a burrito out on your counter for months on end and then expect people to be able to eat it. You get food poisoning, you get really sick.
Sure.
And so with the food that we send to the ISS, we need food that can last 2.5 years. Wow. And that's a really long time. So shelf stability is super important for the ISS.
You know, and I want to talk more about that, but I have a dumb question for you, Ryan. All right. And you can make fun of me for this question, and please feel free to, and because trust me, Jeff will as well. So I think about when it's really cold outside of my house. If I take a 6-pack of beer or something and just leave it outside to stay cold.
Great question.
It's fine. Right. So what if we vacuum seal food? So you eliminate the oxygen in there. I mean, kind of the same idea. Couldn't you leave it on the front porch of the space station and it just kind of holds?
Oh, great question. Like, could you freeze it? Could you like expose it to the vacuum of space and correct. Stabilize yeah. it that way? Is that your
so,
question?
Right. So if we vacuum seal, so we've removed the air and the oxygen from the package, right? And it's frozen already, or it can be frozen. Couldn't we essentially leave it outside?
Jeff, that's a super important question. And you know, that's one of the things that NASA has looked into, is for long range missions like the Mars mission, for example.
Yeah.
Is there any possibility of putting the food on the outside of the vehicle? And, you know, the answer is it might work, but it'd probably be really tricky. And here's the reason why. First of all, let's talk about pulling a vacuum. So on your packages of freeze-dried food, you actually don't want to pull a complete vacuum. If you do, it will crush your food product, which is kind of a foam. You know, after all the water is removed,
yeah.
You know, remember when you ate that freeze-dried ice cream, it's got kind of a foamy texture, right?
Right.
And so if you pull a complete vacuum on that package that the freeze-dried ice cream is in, it'll actually crush the food. And so then when the food gets to the ISS, astronauts can't just rehydrate it with water.
I guess we're having the technical difficulties there. So sorry about that, man. I'm not sure if that's us or you or NASA, or maybe the aliens don't want you to tell us what's in the food. I don't know.
Yeah, this is what happens when you're telling like government freeze-dried mac and cheese secrets.
Exactly.
So with the, you know, and that's a great question. You know, it'd be great if we could send food in the vacuum of space. But again, with the freeze-dried foods, if you pull a complete vacuum on them, it'll crush the food so that you can't rehydrate it. And then for the thermostabilized food products that come in the MRE-style pouches, if you freeze and thaw that by exposing it to the vacuum of space, it's going to turn into mush too. And so you'll have texture degradation. And, you know, if there's one thing that people love in terms of space food, you really need good texture. So we'd love to do it, but, you know, that's why we send food inside the rocket in an environmentally controlled scenario. And it's to make sure that that space food, which is certified as class one spaceflight hardware. So we certify food as class one government furnished spaceflight hardware. It goes through all the safety checks. So it technically is spaceflight hardware, but it's food at the same time.
Wow, so it's classified as hardware.
Yeah, it sure is. And that's something I think that, you know, is interesting when we try to talk to other people about, you know, the process. Because we definitely have a different process than what you would find in a restaurant on Earth. Instead of starting with a recipe, we start with what we call a food specification. And so the food specification is a signed NASA document that's got end-to-end procedures and quality control for manufacturing space food as spaceflight hardware. And it ensures that if all these rules are followed, then what results is a safe, nutritious, delicious food for the astronauts on the ISS.
Now, who actually prepares the food? Is there like the NASA cooks who make this food?
Absolutely. We've got a phenomenal team of food technicians and some culinary trained chefs that work to prepare our food at Johnson Space Center. And then we will freeze dry it or thermostabilize it. We'll keep it in controlled storage, and then we'll stow it into a food container and get it out the door to send it to the ISS.
So you mean to tell me with my degree from CIA, I could have worked for NASA?
Absolutely. Damn. Hey, would you be willing to make freeze dried mac and cheese for us?
I would absolutely do that. Are you kidding me? That sounds amazing. We'd make it truffle and put bacon in it. It'd be so good.
He makes a crazy frittata.
Hey, so Ryan, when we talk about shelf stability a little bit, and as far as just looking long term with all the talk of Mars these days and things going on and planning to put people there sooner than later, hopefully. I got to imagine the shelf stability is even longer for a trip to Mars. What kind of timeline would that be? Like, how long does the food have to stay? Because it's not like a grocery store on Mars where they can stop in the, you know, halfway there and go to 7-Eleven.
Chef, that's exactly right. So Mars is going to be even harder. For the ISS, we're looking for shelf life of around 2.5 years for shelf-stable foods. And for Mars and beyond, we're looking at things that have a shelf life of 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
So the tricky thing is that the technology to produce spaceflight food hardware that lasts that long currently doesn't exist. So we're working to develop that. And Grace Douglas is the lead scientist for advanced food technology here at Johnson Space Center. And it's her team that's working on these long-term shelf stability processes so that we can make sure this food, you know, when it gets out to 3 to 5 year time frame, it still looks good and tastes good and has all of the vitamins and minerals the crew members need. Yeah, and the longer time frame is actually because you can't ship food on the same vehicle as the crew that's going to be going to Mars. You've got to pre-position it a year or more in advance.
Wow.
Because you've got to send so much food for that mission, you have to launch it on a separate vehicle because of how heavy it is. One or more vehicles.
Exactly my next question, just talking about the weight of these things and how much it weighs to get food, you know, to somewhere. I mean, it's got to be a massive part of the weight restrictions, I guess, on whatever vehicle we're using to get there. You know, I just think about, you know, even the food, but not even that, just water, like things to drink. I mean, that's heavy.
Yeah, it sure is. That's a great question about the beverages. So we don't send up any hydrated beverages. All of our beverages are rehydratable powders. And then what the astronauts do is they use the water that's already on station and that's being recycled. Okay. They use that to refill the beverage.
Man, that's so crazy.
So that's one of the ways that we reduce mass as much as possible is we don't send any hydrated beverages.
So interesting, man, to see how that would happen.
Powdered water?
That's where I was going to go. They have a great company that advertises with us. It's a joke commercial, Ryan, for a company called Powdered Water. And obviously, you're working in the industry, you know that chefs tend to make a lot of bad jokes. And powdered water is one of them. But I had a question. Could we make powdered water for real? Could it be a powder of water? You know, we break it down to a solid, but when it goes in your mouth, the molecules like double from the moisture in your mouth, so it like triples the amount of water.
You know, that's a fascinating scientific question, and you know, I just have a hunch that if you dehydrate water, if you put water in a freeze dryer, then I think what you're going to be left with is nothing at the end there. So, dehydrated water or powdered water, you know, you can definitely send that to the ISS. It's called an empty drinking water container. And then perfect. The astronauts just refill it with water once it gets to station.
All right. You make fun of us now, Ryan. We're working on it. Trust me. You just wait. NASA's going to be buying powdered water from us here very soon.
It sounds like a brilliant idea. If you can get it to work, let me know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So let's talk about the selection. And by the way, you guys, we're hanging out today talking to Ryan Dowdy from NASA. He's talking all about some amazing food and how they make it happen up there. He is the food system manager at NASA. And Ryan, honestly, I'm sorry, PhD. Should we call you doctor? Should it be doctor?
Thanks, but I'm not that kind of doctor. That's what my fiance tells me all the time. She's like, you're not that kind of doctor. You can't say Whoa. You're a doctor.
Yeah. Listen, hey, whatever ouch. She says is right, right? Go ahead, Jeffy. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, ouch. Reminds me of my wife. She likes to keep me in check.
So Ryan, the selection of food, like, so if there's, let's just talk about what's going to happen in the future when Jeff and I go to space, and we're going to talk to you and you're going to say, we'll say, Ryan, we're excited to talk about food. Is there like a menu we get to choose from? Do we get to like, I'll take four of this dish, four of this? How does that work? The selection of food that goes with each astronaut?
That's a great question, Chef. So what we do in the ISS food system is we strike a balance between foods that everyone's going to eat, kind of like a pantry system. And then we also have foods that are specific to each crew member that they choose just for themselves.
Nice.
So 75% of the calories crew members get are from the standard menu. And the standard menu is a set list of 10 different types of food containers, and they've all got a set menu inside of each of them. So we've got a breakfast container, a beverages and straws container, desserts and snacks, fruits and nuts, meat and fish, rehydratable meats, vegetables and soups, side dishes, nutrition bars, and condiments. And so each one of those containers is about the size of a large suitcase, and it is completely stuffed with space food. So at any given time, all the astronauts have one of each of these 10 different standard menu containers open. And these are items that are pantry style. Anybody can grab from them. Now, as you can imagine, if you were stuck in your home for 6 months at a time, and you kept opening the refrigerator door every day and looking for new food, you get tired of it pretty quickly, right?
Sure,
you know, if you open the refrigerator door, you're always looking for new food.
Man, absolutely. And I think we all kind of been living that for the past year as it is anyway, feeling stuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Food.
Exactly. It's tough to eat the same thing every day. And so that's why the other 25% of the calories the crew members get come in what we call crew specific menu. So these are food containers that are completely filled with just what the astronauts specify. So if you like a special kind of beef jerky or a certain type of candy, or this is your favorite coffee, all of the coffee and tea is specific to each crew member. You know, everybody takes their caffeine in different ways, sure, and there's no mixing of liquids in the cabin on the ISS. And so we have to put all of the coffee and tea in a leaf or powdered form. We got to mix it all on the ground, pull a vacuum, package it, and then stow it and send it up.
That's so interesting. And it makes sense. That's awesome. I don't think people understand this part of it. I've read about this, how there is no, like, the idea of having liquid on the space station is a terrible idea, because it just floats. It goes wherever it wants. It could hit something it shouldn't hit. It could hit a person. I mean, it could make a mess or some damage, you know, some crazy system on the space station. So these liquids, you can't really take them out of the containers, or they don't like you to take them out of the containers, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, it's definitely a hazard to have a lot of uncontrolled liquid floating around in the cabin volume. And so one of the things that we do in our foods is we make sure that we're rehydrating with the correct amount of water. So take your freeze-dried macaroni and cheese, for example. On each food package, each rehydratable food package, it specifies whether you use hot and cold water and how many milliliters you add to it. So you dial that into the potable water dispenser, insert the freeze-dried mac and cheese package onto the potable water dispenser, and then refill it with just that amount of water. And so we want to make sure when astronauts open those food packages, there can't be a lot of liquid floating around.
Right.
You know, it's just not good to have a whole lot of liquid in the cabin volume.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I was about to ask you that, because I'm guessing, I mean, the idea of having a kitchen on the space station or some sort of spacecraft where we're just going to fire up the oven and cook some things is probably a no-go, because, you know, fire, space, middle of nowhere, not a good idea, especially with the oxygen in the air. The reheating of things, is it all hot water based, or is there some chemical heating? How does that work?
Oh, great question. We don't do any chemical heating for chemical and safety hazard concerns. We do have a food warmer on station, which is able to hold the food down with a spring-loaded clamp, and then crew members can put that in there, and the plates get up to around, I think, 180, 185 degrees Fahrenheit. And so that's how crew members can heat up their food. So it's interesting, because the oven, really, the food warmer is the equivalent of the oven on the International Space Station, but it's not like a home oven, which is a convection oven, right? You use hot air to heat up the food. But on the ISS, it has to be by conduction, right? The food item has to directly contact a hot plate. Okay. Because in microgravity, hot air doesn't rise. It just stays where it is, because there's no difference in density between the, you know, the hot air and the cold air, and there's no up and down, right? And so if you had a regular oven on the ISS, the hot air would just stay right next to the heating coils. So that's why you have to have a conduction oven there.
I never even thought about that part of it. I mean, God, Ryan, it's got, and Jeff, I'm sorry. I know I'm running my mouth a lot, but this is a conversation I wanted to have for such a long time. It's crazy to me. And I got to imagine for you too, when you first started working this job, like, obviously you're a smart guy, so you're thinking, oh, we got a vacuum seal, we got the issues and things you have to handle. But I never even thought of that, how the air is not going to move. And how many things like that have popped up when you're like, we should make this, or this would be delicious to do this. And you find out that the air doesn't move, or, you know, that you can't have liquid, like the different hurdles that have to pop up that you could never possibly think of unless you were there doing it.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I think that's one of the strengths of the Space Food Systems Laboratory at Johnson Space Center, is that we've been supplying food for NASA's human spaceflight program since it began.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I got to put in a plug. We haven't had a single incident of foodborne illness NASA's history. Knock on wood. So, yeah, I mean, you know, working in the industry, you know, the CDC will quote you that 1 in 6 Americans gets foodborne illness every year. So foodborne illness is a very serious issue, and it can really disrupt the crew time on station, which is incredibly valuable. We got to keep our crew members healthy. so that they can respond to any emergencies that come up, so that they can do their EVAs, so that they can do all the science experiments they need to do while they're on station. So, you know, definitely over the history of human spaceflight and spaceflight food, we learn incrementally, you know, and we've gradually learned all the different unique things that we have to do to make this work for people in space.
I made a really great steak one time in an air fryer. Does that count? No, probably not.
I have a question. I have a question, Ryan. You said something before that really fascinating. You said people could bring on personal, like they get to pick 25% of the menu they get to choose, right? From like things that they really like and want. Now,
yes, that's correct.
Now, like my wife makes like a killer hot sauce, you know, that I love. She makes this homemade hot sauce. Like, is there any way like I could bring that on there? Like I could be like, oh, I just really want a little hot sauce.
So, Jeff, that's a great question. Policy-wise, we don't allow homemade food items. And this is for food safety concerns. So we want all of our food products to come from a FSMA-compliant food manufacturer or Food Safety Modernization Act. So we want essentially commercially produced food items where they're following good manufacturing practices, where they have a HACCP system or a hazard analysis and critical control.
I don't shit you say that. My wife, she follows all those when she makes the hot sauce. No, she's really great. So that's great. But what about this? I like a nice stiff drink to really help me sleep, especially when I'm stressed out because I'm on the space station and, you know, I'm far away from everybody. What about that? Do you guys serve up a little preppy Van Winkle or a little is there a small bar on the ISS for the astronauts? How does that work?
You know, great question. NASA's got a strict no alcohol policy to make sure that crew members can function at all times. But Jeff Plum, if y'all figure out a way to dehydrate alcohol, let us know, because that would probably be a real big breakthrough in terms of food technology, just like powdered water.
Powdered water is a breakthrough in technology, and I'm so happy you just said that, because that's going to be my commercial. We have some friends in the Navy, and we've been fortunate enough to do some work with the U.S. Navy and cooking with them, and we were fortunate enough to have a tour on a wonderful submarine, which was incredible. They blindfolded us to take us to it, which was hysterical. But once we got there, they took the blindfolds off and let us go and explore it. And we asked some of the same questions, because it's not too different. A submarine, you know, that far underneath water for so long to going to the space station, right?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chef. There's really a lot of similarities, because what you're doing is you're putting humans into a closed off environment. And I gotta put in a plug. We do have, you know, submariners at NASA, and one of the astronauts in the newest class, Kayla Barron, does come from a submarine background. And you know, we've really got some phenomenal astronauts who have been exposed to these very extreme environments, and are able to really be phenomenal workhorses for NASA.
They are tough individuals, that's for sure, the stories we heard. But one of the things that I wanted to point out was some of the submariners, Jeffy, if you remember this, they were showing us that they would hide some beers in the torpedo tubes so they could have a beer when no one was really around when they were off duty.
Wow, that sounds pretty smart. Don't tell the astronauts about that. They might
Well, which would bring up another question, Ryan. Why does a space station have torpedo tubes? That's a whole other show in itself.
Oh yeah, the ISS. I'll put that out there to clarify. ISS definitely does not have torpedo tubes.
Hey, so what's been the one dish you've been proudest of? You know, being a part of creating. You know, something that was maybe someone wanted and it didn't seem like it was possible, but you guys made it happen.
You know, that's a great question. We try to do whatever we can to help the mission succeed,
right?
And in terms of specific food products, you know, I've got to give all the credit to our phenomenal team of food scientists. We have one food scientist who just does freeze-dried food products. We have one food scientist who just does thermostabilized food products. So I got to give all the credit, you know, to our food scientists who who are constantly, you know, redeveloping recipes to make sure that they stay up to date as, you know, companies go in and out of business and ingredients are no longer able to be supplied. So one of the things I'm most excited about is our freeze-dried food scientist redeveloped our space macaroni and cheese, and it's got more color and flavor than ever before. And we've got a larger macaroni noodle in there too. So it's we're constantly improving our food so that they look better, taste better, and are more nutritious for the crew.
Yeah, and that's just fantastic. I love how much it really comes through when you talk. And Jeff, I think you probably agree with me here. Just listen to Ryan talk about how much he cares that the astronauts like what they're eating. He wants to make a good product. He wants it to be tasty, delicious, and nutritious. But the amount that you care about it really comes through when listening to you talk about it, man. I think we all appreciate that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Putting smiles on faces, even in space.
That's right.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, one of our goals with the recent change to commercial crew program, right? So we started launching astronauts on SpaceX vehicles, right, from Kennedy Space Center. And we haven't launched Americans into space from the United States since Shuttle ended in 2011. So when this started with SpaceX Demo 2, we were so excited to restart what we call the health stabilization program. And that's the quarantine where crew members need to, you know, stay on the ground and not expose themselves to any infectious agents during the few weeks before they go to the ISS. So we did the HSP food service, and we were so excited about that. And part of our vision there for HSP food service was to put a smile on every astronaut's face. So that's actually, it's in our NASA documentation to put a smile on every astronaut's face. And so that's what we try to do when we're working down there for them.
That's awesome.
That. That's fantastic.
That's really what I try to do as a chef too. Same thing. That's like my goal. I want to look around. I want to see smiles on faces. I want to see full bellies, everyone happy. Vibe. Love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Ryan, do you have a social media? Do you do any social media out there where people can look you up on? I couldn't find anything for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on Twitter. And
I'm looking you up on Twitter now. At least I'm trying to.
Yeah, it's at F Ryan Downey.
Ah, with that PhD behind it. There you go. I just followed you on there. So check him out there on Twitter. Ryan, last one for me, buddy. And we can't thank you enough for your time. And thank you for all the hard work that you're doing. When it comes to having the food products you guys have, you know, the dehydrated stuff and things like that, is there anything that everyone hates that these astronauts can't stand that they say, listen, Ryan, we can't ever have that again. That was just terrible.
Oh my gosh. All right. So that's a great question. There are foods that nobody likes. And what we found, you know, when we were adding on these 15 delicious new fish, fruits, and vegetables products, all of our containers are all stuffed to the brim already, right? Every food container we send to the ISS is completely full. So how do we add new food products to the menu? Well, the answer is you got to get rid of some. And so we started looking at all of our consumption data, and we looked at what are the least eaten items? What are the least liked items? And I'll tell you the truth. One of the least consumed, least liked items is cheese grits. Poor cheese grits. Nobody wanted to eat the cheese grits. Now, we've still got a freeze-dried grits with butter in our breakfast container, which is great. But the cheese grits, which are a thermostabilized product, those poor cheese grits, nobody was eating them. So we pulled that one off, and I'm happy to say that cheese grits are no longer on the standard menu. You know, if you're an astronaut and you love grits, we still got grits with butter for you, but the cheese grits are gone, and, you know, we are happy to add in those new fish and fruits and vegetables products, and it just is a crowd pleaser to have all those new items on there.
So, Ryan, I have one last question. So when you guys are planning all these awesome menus and stuff like that, are you ever like, given foods from like large companies to like sponsor the space troops, like the Tyson chicken, like be like, hey, here's a, you know, a ton of chicken from our factory for you guys to use to take to space, or something like that? Or do you guys work with farms? Like, how does that work?
You know, Jeff, that's one of the trickiest parts. You know, working for the government, we can't endorse specific companies, right? And so our foods, we're really not able to call out the brand names for them. And so think that's one of the things that, you know, companies are looking for is how can we make this beneficial for us?
Sure.
So honestly, what we do at NASA is really much smaller than what's done by other huge food manufacturing companies in the United States. You know, NASA is really trying to feed four people every day really well and really safely. Just four people every day. And so this is totally different than, you know, when we make freeze-dried mac and cheese, for example, we'll make like 250 to 300 servings at a time, and that'll last us for a year, right?
Awesome.
And so we have super high quality control, but low volume production. So that's the trade that we're making. And that's not really a good value proposition for a large company. So we work with outside companies whenever we can. We're definitely reliant on the kindness of everyone in the food industry to work with us on our small production sizes. But it's definitely difficult because it's a hard sell when you're not producing, you know, hundreds of thousands of pounds of product X and you're not able to endorse. So we do the best we can. And, you know, I'm happy to say that we're able to, you know, procure ingredients when we need them and keep the astronauts happy and healthy.
So you're saying Tang and Ovaltine is a lie. That's a lie. I grew up thinking I was eating what astronauts ate, and the whole time it was just a marketing ploy.
So
come clean. So
you know, I'll be honest. I actually can't. I can't talk about those specific. Talk about those brand names. But I can say that for those two products, for example, I can't deny that we don't use them. So we'll put it
awesome. That way. Okay, good.
Ryan, you're a legend, man. We can't thank you enough for your time. Thank you so much for joining
Absolutely.
Us. Honestly.
Thank you all so much. This has really been a lot of fun today.
Hey, give it up. Ryan Dowdy, he is the food system manager from NASA. Thank you, Ryan. You're the man. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Wow. How about that, dude, huh? That was a hell of a conversation with that dude.
It's so much information. He's so smart. It's fucking crazy.
It's like still computing in my brain right now.
Yeah. It's such a wild way to think about food, right? Like,
right.
It's not just, I mean, obviously they take taste in consideration, but there's so many of these other factors that come into play to make it last for, you know, what they're shooting for 5 years, they said. Yeah. I mean, that's insane. Like,
well, it's the same thing, like, it's the same problems we have as chefs, though, you know, time and temperature, that's our biggest enemies, and, you know, just trying to make the food last. And by the way, I thought it was a great question about putting the food outside the spaceship.
Absolutely. You know, I got to be honest, though, I should have brought this up when we were on the air with him. I've had some celery seed that I'm pretty sure is about 9 years old.
Really?
I'm not sure how good it is or how bad it is, but it looks fine.
Let's see if we can have him take that shit to Mars and plant it and see what happens.
Let's see what happens. That's what
I'm saying. Maybe Matt Damon, give him a call, see what happens.
We could eat it. What if we just eat that celery seed?
I guess you could. It kind of sounds, tastes gross. It also does help cure meats, though, so that's good. We got that going for it.
There we go. So when we kill the first Martian, we put him on salt, hit him with the celery seed.
You want to kill the Martians? We meet them right away? I guess that's what we do, right?
Well, I mean,
not get something to understand. Let's shoot it and kill it.
What do they look like? Do they look like cows?
Well, we don't know. I mean, my guess is they're probably going to be microscopic amoebas with like an extra tentacle or some shit.
I hope they look like cows. If they look like cows, we're going to kill them.
All right. I'm going to
kill them.
Hey, we're gonna kill them. Can we talk about one of my favorite? Probably the most important takeaway from this whole conversation with Ryan Dowdy from NASA. It's, you know, we were talking about how long it takes to get to the International Space Station. You said it'd take like 6-7 years or some crazy shit.
No, I said about a week. I said it's got to be at least a week. You know, I mean, got orbit.
I said it was a matter of hours. hours, right? I said, I guess a couple hours. Depends on where, depends on where it's at in the orbit, a couple hours.
Yeah, I think it was like 12 hours or something like that is the fastest.
It's like you can get there in six, depending on where it's at in the orbit.
That's bananas, man.
But, I mean, that's just one of my favorite things. This is what I'm talking about, Jeffy. Like, I read a lot of stupid shit. I know a lot of useless information. Dude, you ever watch Jeopardy with me? Like, I'm balling. Here's the thing.
I've never watched Jeopardy with you.
I just wish you would trust me more.
I trust you in how to make a frittata. You know what I want to know? Is, like, do you think Tang makes special flavors for space? Like, they have, like, a sour cherry Tang.
Oh, fuck. Why did you ask that question? That's a damn good question.
I know, but that would be because he wouldn't tell us. We wouldn't get to go into it.
You could have phrased it. You could have said, okay, let's just say that I'm a company that makes a delicious instant beverage. All you have to do is add water. Generally flavored orange, and they say it has lots of vitamins in it. Let's just pretend that I'm that company that does that. Not that there is a company that does that, but if I was. Is there special flavors of that said beverage that could go to space? That's a damn good question. Can you email him that?
Oh my god, I'm going to right now.
I'm telling you, listen.
We could have like cherry, grape.
I mean, look at all the Kit Kat flavors that are available in Japan. You gotta think NASA's got different Tang flavors.
I just had a champagne strawberry Kit Kat.
What?
Yeah, me and my daughter went to New York and we're like hanging out, going to Japanese like stores and hanging out in Chinatown. And we ended up getting like matcha, all these crazy flavored Kit Kats, but one of them was like champagne and strawberries. And it kind of had this, like, effervescent-y kind of flavor to it. Not great, but definitely weird. Yeah, it's weird. I might even have a couple.
Why would anybody eat that?
I don't know, man. Oh, I also got shrimp mayonnaise crackers.
Okay. Kind of sounds delicious, but in our regular food vernacular in America, could be gross. How were they?
Yeah, amazing. They're 133 calories each.
Per cracker.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, they're like the same size as like a Wheat Thin, but they're like a rice cracker. I don't know, man.
It's like having a hoagie.
Yo, it's amazing. I had like six of them, and I was like, oh my god, I'm fucking gaining weight on these crackers.
That's crazy. We should do a show where we just taste all these crazy, weird Japanese foods, because you can buy them everywhere now.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple great markets by my apartment in the city.
What are we doing? We got to get some. Hands down. Remy, my daughter, would love that shit.
Oh, dude, we should meet. We should all go with the girls in the city and just go eat and hang out one time. That'd be fun.
Yeah, you hang out with Remy. My teenagers, you don't want to hang out with them. They're annoying.
Yeah, that's probably true.
We need to give them like 2 years. I heard at 16, things kind of changed a little bit, but...
I actually had a lot of fun with Olive. We like really bonded this last time. It was cool.
That's what I'm talking about. That's right. We're getting too personal. We don't want to get to that personal shit. We're going to put that shit over the air.
Yeah, it's true.
Listen, I want to do a big shout out and thank you to NASA. Listen, it's been one of my dreams forever to be a part of NASA, and I think tonight, in a weird way, we kind of were, Jeffy.
Absolutely.
We definitely gave things to think about.
We definitely, I think that our conversation could possibly change the space program as we know it.
I think
some of the questions and some of the things that we posed to the super, what is his title again? He's the
he is the food systems manager.
The food systems manager of the International Space Station. We brought some exciting points to his attention that I think he's going to bring up at the next meeting.
They're working on powdered water.
We might even get a call. We might even get a call, and they might be like, "Hey, you two, we need you." Okay, yeah. The president, he asked to have you two come in. And
the president listens to this program. I know that.
Absolutely. Well, first it was Andrew Cuomo. Yeah. You know, he told Ned about it. Ned's been listening to it for a while. We've been deep in the state legislatures of New
Ned
York,
Lamont, Governor of Connecticut.
Connecticut. And so it only made sense that you know, when the new president came into play, that they were like, "Hey, man, we lead states. We know you lead a country. We know it's a different ball game. But you know what helps us really get through?"
What do you say?
Plum Love Foods.
Talking about. This is where it's at. I love how you've got your fucking finger on the pulse of the U.S. government. It makes me really feel good to know. Like, I feel safe. I feel like you are great at explaining that for the everyman.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't like to brag, but I know a few people. I've been places. Yeah. important places, places where they're like libraries.
Sure.
That aren't, you know, on the beaten path per se. Yeah. And in those places, I've made friends, and those friends tell me things. And then I share those things with you and the people.
First round draft pick. I'm telling you, there he is. Chef Jeff Perazzi, a.k.a. the Forking Chef.
Nose tackle.
American hero. American hero. Big shout out to our guest tonight, Ryan Dowdy from NASA. Thanks for joining us here on the program, man. We appreciate it. He broke lots of knowledge. He's great. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Dowdy on Twitter. Check him out there. You know, I'm sure NASA probably, that's a little hard what he can talk about, but definitely worth a follow. Check that space stuff, man. I'll tell you what, the stuff going on Mars right now is pretty fucking incredible. And in a world that we live in where all we hear about, Jeffy, is how bad human beings are and how bad we are as people, I'm telling you what, pay attention to what's going on in space right now, because when you pay attention to that, you realize, you know what, man? We're pretty fucking cool as a species, man. It's pretty awesome how far we've come. So shout out to Ryan. Shout out to NASA. And shout out to you guys for letting us be here and supporting us and everything else. Don't forget to check out chefplum.com/store. Go to the store. Check out some shirts. We got some great merch there. You want a phone case? We got a phone case. You want a tapestry? We got tapestries. Go check them out there. Anything you want, we got koozie cups, Jeffy. We got koozies.
Koozies, masks, onesies.
Yo, I'm going to order some koozies to give away because it's fun to give away a koozie. A koozie and a knife. That's what we should do.
Sweatshirts.
Yeah, sweatpants.
Sweatpants.
There we go. Pouch boxers. Undies. I don't know if we have those yet.
Pouch undies. Boxers. Yeah. Banana hammocks.
All of that. All of that. We got all of that stuff. We're getting some. Yeah, that's all we got. That's all
with
we
our got. Faces on it.
That's it. So thank you guys very much. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. I hope you all have a fabulous, fabulous rest of your week. I will be thinking about you and counting my blessings as I'm out here enjoying the sun and a vacation that was desperately needed. And in the meantime, in the between time, friends, remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Mm-hmm. Give it the time it deserves. We'll see you guys next week. Peace. Power too sweet, yeah. To be sour
and funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.